Slowly, methodically, Catherine supplied him with as many names as she could recall. Those girls she knew were ill or had died, as well as those who weren't yet sick. She recalled some 50 former co-workers whose names she gave to Martland. In the years to come, the doctor was said to retrieve the list from his files whenever he heard of the death of a dial painter. With chilling prescience, he would find her name on the list, written there back in the summer of 1925, and meticulously write a neat red D beside the woman's name. D is for death. Catherine was at that time in fair health, but as her formal diagnosis sank in, she found that she could not stop thinking about that prediction. D is for death. She had already been made nervous by Irene's passing. Now, every ache became a symptom that could lead to her own sudden death. "I know I am going to die," she said. She stressed it, trying it on for size. "Die. Die. It doesn't seem right." When she looked in the mirror these days, it wasn't the same Catherine who stared back at her anymore. Her face, once usually pretty, a newspaper wrote of her at this time, is now pinched and drawn with suffering. The suspense and worry have undermined her spirit. That was the thing, the worry. It put her in a very precarious mental condition. A former company, keeping tabs on her, put it more harshly. They called her mentally deranged. "When you're sick and can't get around much," Catherine herself said, "things are different. Your friends aren't the same to you. They're nice to you and all that, but you're not one of them. I get so discouraged sometimes that I wish..." "Well, I don't wish pleasant things." She became very badly ill and consulted a nerve specialist countless times. But Dr. Belling couldn't stop her spiral of thoughts nor halt that flickering cine reel of ghost girls still playing in her head. Catherine had always been lively and sociable before, but now, her sister said, she is not the same girl at all. She has completely changed in temperament. Catherine's periods stopped. She couldn't eat. Her features themselves seemed almost to change, with her eyes becoming larger and more bug-like, as though sticking out on stalks. That was what happened when you stared your own death in the face. She murmured, "Night and rainy days are the worst times." Before the year was out, Catherine Sharp would be confined in a hospital for nervous disorders. It was little wonder, given the trauma she could see her friends enduring. The surprise was that more dial painters weren't similarly afflicted. These days, visitors to Marguerite Carlo in St. Mary's Hospital found her much the same. Her blood was almost white, and her blood count only 20%. But it was her head, her face. Her X-rays now showed that the radium had eaten away her lower jaw to a mere stump. Just as he'd experienced with Molly Maggia, Kniff found himself helpless to stop the rot. Another patient at St. Mary's that August of 1925 was Albina Maggia Larice, but for much happier reasons. Her stomach bloomed with pregnancy, her cheeks flushed with pride. For nearly 4 years, she and James had been trying for a child. Each month that had passed without the good news she yearned for had left a bitter taste in her mouth, as her body betrayed her time and again. Next month, she would tell herself. But then next month had always brought the same acidic disappointment. Not anymore, At long last, Albina thought contentedly, rubbing a loving hand across her swollen belly. She was becoming a mother. She would cradle her child in her arms, tuck it into bed at night, keep it safe from harm.